It's like, that's not even real. Like, we always joke about, like, oh, you can't even write our lives and our shit, but it's like, you can't write that. Like, your dad's the mob guy who owns a trash business, and then he buys a fucking hockey team, puts a 17-year-old son as the president. They turned into a fucking fighting, like, so many dynamics to this. It's like, and it's all real. What the fuck is good, high-rise listeners? We are back with another episode of the High-Rise Podcast. Aaron, got Derek, got Josh over here in the blue velvet fucking player chair over here. Hello. And yeah, we're back. It's the fucking first podcast of the new year. We're excited to be alive and kicking and excited to see what the new year brings. Thanks for fucking tuning in. The fuck going on?
Yeah, let's see where this goes.
Yeah.
Cannabis taxes are on the rise.
I hate it.
Straight into the news.
4.5%.
4.5% on top of what? 30 something?
Yes. Where are we at? This is the tax that goes to the growers.
Wait, so the California is raising the tax 4%, you said?
4.5%. So instead of like...
That's the cultivation tax or what? Or
no? Yeah, to the grower. So instead of like $9.60-something cents, it's $10.
Yeah, because right now it's $1.54 an ounce.
Yeah.
So what would that bring it up to? 4% on top of that?
I don't know exactly.
It's like an extra $5 or some shit a pound?
Yeah, because it's per ounce. Roughly. Yeah. So it's like $10.08 per ounce now. So times that by 16.
Put that closer to your face when you talk.
Huh.
Times it by 16.
So basically you just have to give the government more money. It sounds about right. Sounds about...
Who would have thought?
Usual, yeah.
Who would have thought?
Yeah, who would have thought that one? So yeah, fucking... I don't know. I guess you could, that translates into your other fucking shit we were just talking about. That dude's just like, how California is the worst or whatever. Like, we've set our infrastructure up, like, pretty much laughing stock of the, like, whatever, right?
Steve D'Angelo's tweet. Josh, you want to read it?
Yeah,
Steve Jobs' tweet.
Aaron's referring to Steve D'Angelo's tweet, which is, California equals the laughing stock of the cannabis world. The poster child for how not to legalize. Corporations be warned. If you don't welcome legacy to legal, we will just stay outside the system and outcompete you for another 80 years.
I mean, he's not wrong.
Yeah.
Because it's like the black market's just going to thrive. And these taxes are so high, it makes it so difficult.
The higher they make the taxes, the more it just incentivizes people to just keep buying it on the fucking street or whatever.
I'm going through all this like Wonder Brett footage right now, the interview for the On the Rise, and... It was like an hour of footage, and so much of it is just him talking about how difficult it is and dealing with like investors and taxes and trying to cultivate on scale. And I was just watching it like, damn, this is like discouraging as fuck. If somebody wanted to, you know, it's just so difficult to do something on this level. And then the government's going to take 30-40% of your money.
And then just keep taking more and more.
You know, like people are spending $70 an eighth at a dispensary is insane.
Dude, yeah, I was in a dispensary when we were at Hall of Flowers. I went to some dispensary and I was just like literally just like looking at all the prices and shit. And like, dude, I was pretty surprised how expensive some of the eighths were, like $80, $100, like crazy.
Yeah.
It's like, what the insane. So yeah, like, I don't know. I agree, I guess, but it's also like fucking all figuring this shit out. You know what I mean? It's like nobody knows what the fuck they're doing in this shit. Like, it's still such a new thing. The industry's like not even a thing yet. It's like, it is obviously, but it's like,
yeah,
it's like a long way to go, so it's, you know.
That's one way to look at it, too, where it's, like, trying to show that it only, like, legalizing it, but doing it with bad legislation, it only is going to make the black market bigger, you know? Yeah. And we are the guinea pigs here in terms of everything. Obviously, you have, like, the OG markets, the Colorados and Washington and Oregon's and shit, but we're the first ones to really, like, California's the first ones to, like, really brand and market cannabis in a certain way.
Yeah.
So it's like we're obviously California is light years ahead of everybody in terms of marketing and, you know, that type of shit. But in terms of the laws, it's fucked here. And we're definitely setting the standard, but setting an example for other states to, when they pass their bill, to do it correctly.
Yeah, like what not to do.
Exactly. So it's only benefits other states, just exactly like you said, though. Don't, like, look at what we're doing and fix it. It's similar to Naturbis. The facility we were talking about in Michigan, they, you know, their facility got built in August and they got to adjust everything that all the California grows and Washington.
They get to see Oregon, it roll out and, firsthand or whatever, and apply their fucking shit.
So it's the same thing with all the other states with laws. And I'm really excited to see that. I'm really excited to see. I mean, I don't know what's going on in Pennsylvania. I remember reading an article saying that they were going to be doing permits instead of licenses, and that's permits makes it so that like we they'll be able to have small businesses, and it's not just going to be giant corporations like coming in.
Dollar buy-in, and or it's like a way lower entry point or whatever. Mm-hmm.
It makes them more equal and just less of a monopoly from the corporate companies.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know, pros and cons. It's like, yeah, we're way behind on that, but we're way ahead in all these other aspects. So it's like, does it weigh out? I don't know. Like, other states, yeah, your laws might be great, but like your fucking marketing sucks and your branding sucks and your products may suck in some cases. I don't know. But so it's like, I don't know, pros and cons, I guess.
Yeah. And then I always just hear stuff from the Pacific Northwest where they're like, we just have too much weed and we can't even sell shit. It's like, we can't even sell $10 eighths, you know?
Because there's just so much, you know, fucking mm-hmm. abundance or whatever, yeah.
So we're definitely setting, you know, the bar here, and then everybody else is going to kind of figure it out as we go. It's just everything. It's like when we grow up skateboarding, all the original skate parks got put in nice cities, like South Orange County cities, and they were the worst fucking skate parks ever because these companies that they're, these contractors don't know how to build skate parks, and now when the hood starts, the last 10 years, the hood started getting dope-ass skate parks, they're getting the dopest plazas because, yeah. you know, they figured it out, and all the nice areas are just stuck with these like 1998 shitty ass skate parks.
Yeah.
So it's like we're the 1998 shitty skate park in the nice area right now. And we're going to get to see all these other states hopefully learn from us, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Comment below, like if you guys live in other states, whether it's medicinal or legal, and what's the average eighth price at your guys' dispensary? Because here the average eighth price is probably 55.
I'd say 50 bucks. Yeah.
Yeah. For like an average, like you could get a $25-$35 eighth, but you're not gonna, if you want something like decent, it's kind of weird too in the dispensaries here too, because you see the like $65 eighth, like you were saying, like whoa, you're charging $65 for this eighth, and like obviously you're gonna get like a $75 eighth and it's gonna be the top fucking shelf.
Yeah,
but like I feel like the 45 to the 65, it's like not that much different.
Yeah, and there's even, yeah, I don't know, it's just how you brand your shit and market your shit. It's like, in some cases, the $70, $80 shit's just as good as the $50 shit, but they just brand it better, market it better, or whatever. But, yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know, I've definitely gotten, like, some of what's supposed to be, like, the top end, $80, $90, $8 shit, and it's like, cool, I get the $60 shit, and I'm like, eh, I don't know. But that's just my opinion. Who knows?
Yeah. And it's also, like, preference and terps, and yeah. I guess everybody's going in there for the THC percentage, but... If you know if you know what you really like, and if you know the genetics, and you know the terpene profile, you can probably save yourself a lot of money. Because it's like if you really know the terp that your body responds to, and you're not going in there just basing it on like the nose, that because you can't smell it, because it's some jar that's been opened like 600 times for the same eighth, and then it's hard to really see it or like get a feel for it. Just all you could look at is look at it and THC percentage. If you know your terpene profile, once people start figuring that out, you'll be able to get like a lower priced eighth that suits you instead of just going for something, you know, it's like, oh, this one's $5 more. It must be more fire or something. Like you could buy like a $25 eighth of the strain that you actually like, you know, and it's going to do better than getting something that like looks fire, smells fire.
Yeah.
But terpene education is like next. You know, if we're talking about like 2022 predictions, like we'll see if that shit, you know, if that wave comes, because that's like the next step of education is like terpenes.
Yeah. Hey, what else we got?
All right, next, Harborside to combine with Urban Leaf and Loud Pack, and they're going to be called State House Holdings, so it'll be cultivation and manufacturing with storefronts.
So wait, say that again.
Yeah, that was a lot.
Urban Leaf.
And Harborside.
Loud Pack.
Or no.
Harborside and Urban Leaf.
We're all just naming brands. Okay, sorry. Harborside, mm-hmm. Urban Leaf, and Loud Pack.
Yeah.
So Loud Pack's a huge distro. Urban Leaf is a dispensary or a brand or both?
Both. And but I don't know if Harborside's a dispensary. Harborside, yeah, I think they have. I think right Harborside has cultivation too, actually. So probably just like combining powers, it looks like.
Damn, that's a pretty big merger. There is another huge one. There's a huge one I saw today. It was Jungle Boys and someone. It was like an exclusive distribution. I think it was with Herbal. H-E-R-B-L or U-R-B-L or whatever the fuck. And then Plus Edibles
Plus
got
Edibles.
Bought out.
Oh,
by,
yeah, Herbal.
And... Who did they get bought out by? That's fucking bothering me. Glasshouse.
Really?
I'm 99% sure. Maybe double check that. But I'm pretty sure it's Glasshouse, yeah. For $20 million or $25 million or some shit.
Dude, Glasshouse is making moves.
Dude, they have all the money. They have the biggest grow, I think.
Santa Barbara.
That's what he was saying, right? Remember? At Hall Flowers, some shit. He's he was saying they bought the biggest, I think, tomato. It was like, it used to be the biggest tomato farm or some shit, like in America. Or some shit. It was the biggest, like, Heinz tomato, the people who supplied Heinz something. And then like they now it's whatever, they're renovating it into their shit or whatever. Like I totally forgot about that. Pretty crazy. So yeah, they have the biggest like outdoor or whatever. Pretty wild. And now they got plus edibles on top of that.
And they got some gummies coming out of there.
Yeah, crazy. But yeah, fucking, that's kind of like, I don't know, I've been seeing, or I guess just in general, there's been a lot more of these big acquisitions and partnerships and collabs, and that's just going to continue to happen as this shit evolves, right? Like, all the big players are just going to come together until there's like five,
yep,
or three or some shit.
Over and over and over.
So any of those big five want to slide higher at like a
fucking oh yeah, this podcast is sponsored by Timber. Yeah. Timber Supply Co.
The best flower in the fucking forest.
That watermelon mimosa. That cocoa pebbles.
Best trees in the forest.
We got the breakfast platter for you. Yeah. The cocoa pebbles and the watermelon mimosa. You guys will be set. Follow Timber Supply Co. on IG.
Ask for you. Ask for it in your local dispensary. Try that again.
Yes, if you guys can convince your dispensary to pick it up and you can show us proof via DM, we'll send you a nice little care package. Not a flower, because we're not trying to go to fucking jail, but we'll send you some cool shit.
Yeah. So,
yeah. All right, MJ Biz sells for $120 million cash.
Cash, cold hard cash.
Go. Who bought straight to the roulette table? Who has that much
fucking cash laying around?
Emerald. That's what it's called.
So I wonder. So if I heard from a bird on the street, is that the same? I heard from a little bird or some shit.
Mm-hmm.
I heard from a little bird that there's like two or three main companies that hold or buy all the trade shows, and another trade show that happens might be getting bought too or some shit. So that's funny. That one just got bought.
Flowers?
Yeah. Like, so it's pretty funny. Like, I don't know. That's a lot of fucking money.
So the
like,
same people own. $120 million? Who else do they own? But it's not. It's not specifically cannabis. They just buy trade shows in general.
There's two or three different
they
ones.
They do events. Whatever Emerald is, they work with event shit.
Hmm. Well, hopefully they fucking make it better, because MJ BizCon was fucking trash. That was like the wackest show ever. Like,
did you walk?
I mean, I've been to him. Like,
oh, yeah.
Walked into it, got kicked out, and then escorted back through by a sheriff.
I took seven steps into it one time. No, I've been to it before, and then we went to it when we got kicked out, and like, whatever the fuck. Like, obviously, good for them. They got a big fucking following and big turnout and whatever, but. Not my cup of tea.
Hey, do you want to hear?
Not the high rise. Not the
high rise. Do you want to hear the other shows they own?
Emerald?
At Miami Beach Antique Show.
Mm.
Outdoor Retailer. Impressions Expo. American Handcrafted. So it sounds like it's just a bunch of random different shit. Ads Week.
And then they drop $120 million on one of the biggest cannabis trade shows.
That's a lot of money, yeah. Artisan Bakery Expo. Aaron, you need to hit that one.
Breadwinner. Yeah, that's pretty crazy. It's a lot of bread.
When are we going to do a Breadwinner times caffeinated kitchen?
No, I know, that's so funny when we were talking about that. I was like, oh, that's perfect.
What are we going to do?
Or we know a guy that owns a large bakery as well. Like, legitimately owns a bakery. Just fuck, do a music video in there. Shout some out, shit.
Do a music video and then go buy caffeinated kitchen.
Yeah, for real. God damn it. All but right. Yeah, fucking, Betty I don't White. Know, crazy.
Betty White's pass, RIP.
Shout out.
RIP.
Shout out.
I remember her from Grandma's Boy, epic.
I don't think that's her, because I said the same thing. And then Jen's like, I don't think that's her, because we watched Grandma's Boy like 2 weeks ago.
Did she smoke weed?
That's Betty White. Who else would it be?
It wasn't Betty White. It was some other lady.
Who else would it be?
Grandma's Boy. Look up Grandma's Boy cast. I don't know.
That's not Betty White.
I thought it was, too. You know her from Golden Girls.
Betty White?
And a whole lot of other shit.
Did she smoke weed? Betty White, you think?
I don't know.
Yeah, she had that glaucoma, dude. She was puffing.
She was 100 or some shit?
The grandma was Doris Roberts, which is the one.
That sounds like a 100-year-old lady.
No, definitely Doris
Roberts. That's the chick from this chick.
Oh, okay.
She was like King of Queens.
She's like the mom,
or
yeah.
Or some shit.
Yeah. All right, let's play our favorite game. What do you think old Betty's net worth was?
20 mil.
20?
I'd say 15 to 25.
Bro, she grew up in the Great Depression.
85?
No, I'm saying, you're saying 85.
I was like,
I'm saying
85
mil.
You said how much?
15 to 25.
I'm saying 65.
She probably got bread. Bro, she's 100.
She's from
her investments alone have grown like.
She's from the Great Depression, bro. She know how to save
that compound interest.
What was your guesses?
I'll say 22 million.
I said 65.
I said 85 and 75.
Damn, Benny Wipey right in between us.
Benny Wipey baking that bread.
That's right. Did I you bet see, you could have baked too,
did
bro.
Did you see Lil Duval's joke about Betty White's passing?
No.
He said he put out a tweet. Hold on, let me see. Lil Duval, Betty White.
Betty White getting them checks. That's crazy.
Dude, wait, how long do you think
about her? I just know that she's always like the old sweet lady, and she's just like the lady everyone likes.
Dude, whatever. Golden Girls was syndicated for like 50 years.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like she gets that true, bread.
Yeah. The Lil Duval tweet was, God showed Betty White something about 2022 that made her say, fuck it and check out. Because she died on the day before the first.
Yeah,
she had a good run. R.I.P. Well, R.I.P. Betty.
She's probably got some stories.
Let's put a Betty White picture on.
Do you think she has some stories? Like, all the decades that lady lived in Hollywood? She was running it up, dude. She's probably
Her name wasn't Betty White for nothing.
She's running up and down Sunset
Boulevard.
She has
a street named after her, apparently.
She's about to.
Real.
She was not a known weed smoker, but she has a street named after her.
Well, that seems to be a common theme in cannabis.
Sounds familiar.
All right. Next up, Dana White and Jake Paul beef.
So, yeah, this one's interesting. This one's been going on for a minute.
Break it down.
Aaron sends me like a DM. Aaron sends me Jake Paul's video this weekend. It's just a 4-minute video of Jake Paul just owning Dana White.
Yeah.
Just like, you're not going to beat these Gen Z YouTuber fucking kids when it comes like to the content. Yeah. And Dana's like, clearly, what, 400 millionaire, like clearly, literally won last year. Yeah. 2021, both those motherfuckers won.
Yeah.
That's why they're going at it. You know what I mean? Like, Jake Paul fucking won. Yeah. And Dana White, through the whole pandemic, kept the US, found a way to keep the UFC going and like set the standard for the bubble for other sports to follow, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's... they're both the best at what they fucking do.
Yeah.
And, but Jake Paul's younger. It's like, he's younger. Just, he got more energy. He's just got more, you know.
He's got the hunger, the energy, the fucking like technological like know-how, you know what I mean? Where Dana White doesn't. It's like, I don't know. But yeah, it's super interesting seeing that kind of all like unfold or whatever. Like, so basically it all started like Jake Paul, who's not a boxer, is a YouTuber, and he does this boxing match with... Nate Robinson. Technically with another YouTuber first, but then whatever. The big publicity shit was he boxed Nate Robinson, who's an NBA player, knocked him out cold. Then he goes, he fights Ben Askren, who's like a UFC fighter, but he's not a striker, and he's known for not being good standing up. Gets knocked out. Boom. Then he goes, he fights a legit fighter, Tyron Woodley, who's like a world champion, but also not like a boxer. Beats him by decision? Beats him by decision, whatever. So within these three fights, he's literally like hyping up the sport of boxing and getting numbers and awareness and whatever like it hasn't had in how long? Like a long time probably. And he's getting all these boxers paid significantly more money than they're getting paid before. And he's just bringing the whole fucking new
audience.
Lifestyle of, or the new like, what do you even call it? The new like
wave, the new
generation of like how you build a brand. It's not like you build everybody's their own brand now. You build your own brand or whatever, or you build your own thing. You don't have to rely on someone else to do it now or whatever. So he's just putting all these people on and just showing like how the UFC is like not fucking treating their people right, or like not paying them what they should be paid, blah, blah, blah. And now he's just going at Dana White, who's the owner. And Dana White's like, so did Dana White get caught doing coke or no?
I don't know though. Like
that's what they said.
He always says it. I'm sure he says he doesn't do coke and he can drug test him for
but
the next
Jake
10 years.
Says that he's been caught.
Yeah,
is
which
that
he,
true or not? Like
I don't know.
Confirmed.
Yes. I don't know, but I can. Dana White doesn't address it. I can totally imagine it being true, but because Dana says I don't do coke, you can drug test me for the next 10 years. He didn't say I never did
coke.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Are you kidding me? He's just like hundreds of millions of dollars. This dude lives in Vegas. This
running
dude is Mr. Fucking Vegas. Yeah. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
Like that dude's got so much secondhand cocaine in his nostril more than like...
dude, more than fucking, for real. So yeah, but it's just like new age versus fucking old. Like, I don't know, just like... So now like Jake Paul knows how to stir the pot. That's what he's doing. Like I became aware of Jake Paul and Logan Paul like maybe like 3 years ago and like... I thought the same thing as everybody else. These are fucking annoying, stupid, cringy fucking YouTube kids and fucking fuck these kids, right? Like, that's what their reputation was. It's what a lot of people still think of them. But then I, like, kind of started watching more and kind of, like, paying attention. I'm like, oh, these kids are fucking smart as fuck, and they're playing a role, and they're playing all of you, and you're all fucking, like, they're 10 steps ahead of all of you. Like,
it's Conor McGregor, like, 2.0.
Literally. And, like, so once I, like, kind of recognized that, I kind of started paying more attention, and I just, like, start watching what they're doing and whatever, and, like, just watching him do this, it's so calculated. Every single step this kid's making is, like, so calculated. It's, like, and now he's just going after the UFC, riling them all up, because that's just all the awareness is coming back to him, and it's just putting more shit onto him. He knows he can compete with all these dudes in boxing, and he doesn't have to go on the ground with them or whatever. And he's going to Dana White with all these ridiculous demands, knowing he's never going to do it, and it makes him look bad. Meanwhile, Jake Paul's paying all the fighters more and trying to get the UFC fighters paid higher.
And he's so lobbying
now, like,
for them.
It's just so now crazy how he's turning the tables on everyone. And, like, it's brilliant. But rewriting the sport of boxing, like, pay structure and, like, all that shit's going to be way different now because solely of this fucking kid coming out of nowhere and, like, the fact that he's, like, all that crazy marketing know-how, whatever, and then the fact that he's knocking motherfuckers out. It's like, dude, that's impressive as fuck. Like, that's crazy. You know what I mean? Like, to be able to just come up in, like, 2 years and just knock all these fools the fuck out when, like, a year ago you're, like, a YouTuber kid and you're, like, running all this shit. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It's pretty impressive.
How long he's been training? 2 years?
Probably 3 years, four years, some shit. Yeah.
He's an athletic dude as
but, like, full-time training straight, probably 2 years.
Like, boxing, like, dude, like, professionals and shit. He's been training.
And then on the other hand, you have his brother who goes and fights Mayweather in the same year.
That's insane. And the fact that he didn't get stopped by Mayweather was ridiculous. Yeah. I don't care what anybody fucking says. Like,
did Mayweather come out and say it was like he wasn't a real fight? He said
it was an exhibition and blah blah blah.
But he said this.
Mayweather probably could have tried harder and whatever. But, like, I don't know. It was like he fucking did good. Like, I don't know.
Is Logan Paul a better fighter than Jake?
No,
no.
Maybe they were like maybe they were probably close, but now Jake's full time the last like year and a half, Logan's not, so he definitely has a gap on him for sure.
Their first fight, they're like training together, and then Logan just doing it but he has like more. At that point, Logan also had way more options, way bigger than Jake Paul after their first fight.
Yeah,
and then Jake just like fell in love with the sport. I also barely know what the fuck I'm talking about, but with the thing that makes it super fun and interesting to it just or compelling is that it's two dudes who do not give a fuck. They do not give a... Literally, people are like, I don't give a fuck. No. Dana White does not give a fuck. He has all the fuck you money. I've said on the podcast, it's so dope just watching him in press conferences just be like, fuck that dude. Fuck.
He just says whatever all he wants. Shit. Yeah.
You could never hear that from the dude from the right. Major League Baseball or whatever. And then you have Jake Paul, who doesn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Who's... It's almost like that's...
And he watched Conor McGregor and he's like, oh, cool. Like, I'm going to fucking do that times 10. And he he's not scared to cross the line and say the thing. And, like, he just knows how to stir the pot. Like, literally, like, in every situation, from stealing Mayweather's hat and it goes viral to, like, the Dana White thing, it goes viral. Like, every little thing he does just, like, goes viral. It's because he knows what he's doing. It's, you know.
And those dudes, they're just, like, not fazed by shit. Like, when Logan fought Mayweather and before and after, he was like not nervous and he was not that like he wasn't even like celebrating because he doesn't this dude think about how many like W's Logan has had in his life. You know, he's had people have heard about like the three L's, but think about how many W's this 26-year-old kid has had in his life with crazy major deals or crazy, you know, multi-million dollar deals or success or videos or viral shit. Like, this dude's, are you kidding me? Like, these fools don't get fazed.
Yeah.
And then, so when they go into that, like, press conference and talking shit when they're not nervous, they can be more calculated.
Yeah.
When you're, like, nervous and you're, like, saying dumb shit and you're becoming cringy, but they're, like, people, it comes off cringy when you don't realize it's calculated, you know? But when it's calculated, it's really coming off with intention, dude. Yeah. Like, everything he's doing, he's like 5-10 steps ahead.
Yeah.
And there's always options. Cool. If fucking Woodley does this, or if so and so this happens, it's like he's a matchmaker himself.
It's like how
all
chess.
The Dana White, like, and
he's
his
thinking
staff
three fights ahead or three steps ahead.
He's like, so if Tommy Fury, this happens or that, I'm gonna fight him. But if he pulls out and then Woodley's still down, so I'm gonna do this. Meanwhile, I'm gonna be poking the bear, fucking with Connor, Nate, and Dustin, and I'm maybe trying to line those fucking fights up and then also trying to do this bullshit with Dana. And it's just crazy. It's a crazy life, dude. You're just sitting there. Yeah.
Like,
and it takes a certain type of person to just be able to sit there on social media and like Connor's that type of person. He's just like laughing and I could just picture him laughing maniacally, like as people are retweeting and he's like talking shit back and he's like on the couch. He's not bothered by it. Where 99.9% of us we can't handle that shit. Right. You know what I mean?
It's like in their fucking blood. Like, I think it was Jake or Logan. I'm pretty sure it was Jake. Did 365 vlogs in a row every single day for 365 days on top of it. Like, you know, fucking hard. Like, we know how hard that is, but like nobody else does. Like, think about that 7 days a week for an entire year doing a vlog. Not even the filming and the editing, but the coming up with ideas, executing this shit, the mental fucking drain, the fucking physical drain. Like, everything about that is like pretty crazy. So it's just like, dude, that's like what these fucking, it's like in their blood, you know?
It's like, pretty crazy. That's wild. Like, it, okay, multiple things about that. One, that's like fucking training. So that dude like wants to be a fucking famous person and a celebrity. He's almost like, okay, I'm gonna have cameras follow me around for 365 days while I'm awake. That's training him to just get used to cameras being around him for when he does become a celebrity, which is pretty weird. And then also, you do anything for 365 days like that.
Yeah,
like,
for real.
Challenge yourself to do something for 365 days. You're gonna get recognition. You're gonna get some sort of, you're gonna get followers, whatever. It's the Russ model, right? He put out a song every, what do you do, every day or every week or something like that for a year?
Yeah.
It's like, you do that and it's gonna fucking pay off.
I think Gary Vee told him to do that or some shit. It's like, or something.
Anybody could do that at anything. What do you wanna do? You wanna get better at basketball? You wanna get better at drawing? You wanna get better at Photoshop, Illustrator? Like, literally just be like, okay, I'm gonna do this shit for fucking an hour or 2 hours a day for 365 days and you're guaranteed. That's like, you know, like your goddamn masters. You know?
Yeah, for real.
What else we got? That one got all fired up. Like, we're like, oh, this stuff. You bring up Jake Paul and fucking, we got the hot takes.
All right, what about this one? Jim Carrey's going to be on the next The Weeknd album. He has a feature on it.
That's like the most random thing I've ever heard.
I thought you were going to say it's in that movie.
Like, tell me the most random thing ever. Like, I don't even know what I'm saying. That's how random that is.
The hottest collab of
Jim Carrey and fucking The Weeknd? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's a weird one.
On his next album.
Let's see if Jim Carrey's got some hot fire.
He's got the bars.
He's the woke. Jim Carrey's woke.
That's tight though. If I was like The Weeknd, I'd just be like, yeah, fucking Jim Carrey and shit. I'll just get whoever. Like, why not? Like, you're The Weeknd. You fucking made it.
The NBD. And it's like, just auto-tune his voice.
It's like some high-rise shit. It's like, let's get Jim Carrey. Like, let's just get the right, like, you know what I mean? That's just like so random and like,
cool. You just auto-tune anyone's voice.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just like freaking Bruce Buffer, obviously. Don't auto-tune Bruce's voice. Or someone should auto-tune Bruce's voice just to see what it sounds like.
Have some respect.
All right, J. Cole had a Nardwuar interview, and Nardwuar asked about him being one of the first persons to tell, J. Cole being one of the first persons to tell Dr. Dre about Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah, fucking, that's pretty crazy. J. Cole's dope.
J. Cole's so dope. So is Kendrick. They're just both proven.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. What I always remember about J. Cole is like two things, because I just watch YouTube, random YouTube things, because that's all I watch. And I watched this one, and it's just like, No Jumper, and they just like, literally Adam22, like, had mentioned something about J. Cole, like, whatever, like, something positive. And then, like, a week later, J. Cole just shows up to fucking No Jumper, just shows up out of the booth by himself, and he's like, oh, like, where's Adam at? Like, I want to say what's up. Like, I just want to talk to him. Like, and then fucking Adam was like at his house, and he's like, rushes to the shop and just like pulls up on him, and then they end up talking for like an hour and a half about like religion and just like all this like random shit, and just like, oh, just like dope. Like, he just like pulled up on him, he's like, what's up? And then just like chop it up for like 2 hours. Just like, he just seems like such a normal ass like dude, like just a down to earth dude. And the second thing is the Lil Pump thing, when like Lil Pump turned all these, I don't even remember having it. Lil Pump made like a Fuck J. Cole song, or his fans are saying Fuck J. Cole or something like that. And then instead of J. Cole like being like, fuck you, well, I guess he technically kind of did, because he dropped that song, which is hard as fuck, in 1985. But he hit up Little Pump. And he was like, yo, pull up, let's sit down and talk about it and film it. And it had like, dude, like 3 million views the first day, or the second day or something, I remember. Like, it was like pretty crazy. I was like, dude, that's so smart. Like, this feels so dope. He's just like, I don't know.
And it wasn't on some record label being like a PR, like, yo, you guys should go and do this and get, you know, what a clout out of it. It's, let's, like, real shit. Yeah. Like, I'm just going to go do that. No, he has some dope shit. Like, I remember seeing some stuff back in the day when he's just like, trust me. He's like, the money will not make you happy.
Yeah.
Like, he's always just has good messages.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's like literally everything he rapped about, the Lil Pump 1985 songs, like, pretty much happened.
Yeah.
It's just like, where's the fucking Lil Pump at now? You know what I mean? It's just like, he's just like, same thing. He's like, don't spend all your fucking money. Like, fucking don't buy cars. Don't fucking flash all your jewelry. Like, just all this shit that you think you're on top of the world because you're hot, but then like, what happens in 2 years when someone else is hot and you're not, and then you're fucking spend all your money at the fucking jewelry store or whatever.
Yeah, there's like substance to his music. Yeah. And that's why it's lasted, you know, the last, yes. the last like 15 years. Like how many people have come and gone? Like Lil Pump, like all these yeah. Lil Xan, Lil this, Lil that, Young this.
Yeah.
It's like his shit has stood the test of time. And I don't know. He's out there balling too. He's at like Rico Hines. He's like playing ball with like the pros and shit, like on during the summer league and stuff. It's like he has passions. He like does stuff. Like it seems like he does shit that's like good for his soul and like good, like shit you need to do to navigate that crazy celebrity lifestyle.
Yeah.
You know, but that, and then also it just seems like his character to when he's coming up and he hasn't even come up yet, but he's also like trying to put somebody else in
Dr. He's just Dre's such a ear. Smart dude. He has that eye for talent probably. Yeah. Or he could just see it like, and I'm sure it's just like obviously naturally like, who is it, Kendrick?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, yeah, like one of the most talented fucking people. It's like that's, you probably, you know.
Super unique. But what, also, what's
the saying, real recognized real or whatever, yeah. you know? It's like, yeah.
But also just the fact that he's wasn't being selfish and trying to like not let them meet. You know, because he's still young and coming up, which so many people would do. And he's just like, yo, you got to check out this other cat. So,
Yeah, that's dope.
I guess this other story, it's also, I just looked it up. It's about the Raiders team. Saw someone post about this one of their players was arrested for a DUI, passed out in his car. This is where 2 months ago, another player was arrested for DUI, killing someone. This is literally at the beginning of November. This other one, DUI, just happened yesterday, and they just moved to Vegas. They're having all these crazy issues with like drinking and shit. And I don't know. I think that just speaks to weed shit. Just make weed more legal, less drinking shit.
Yeah, imagine how much pain these fools are in, dude. Yeah. These fucking crazy ass
athletes. It's just like just so tempting. You're just like all these millionaire football dudes, and now you're just like. Yeah, you have the world at your fingertips, and now you have the fucking playground at your fingertips. It's like,
but imagine too if they could go to a weed lounge instead. That'd right. be, like, they would if they could, you know, if that was even a thing.
Yeah, that's fucking, that's crazy.
But yeah,
I was just like, they moved to the alcohol place. And pills, dude, just because their bodies are so all the battered up. Injuries and shit. You get that fat paycheck, all those zeros on it.
Yeah.
You go straight to the craps table.
Put it all in red.
Dangerous.
Brett Favre was like on over 20 pain pills per game at one point, like in his later years.
He would function. So I'd be full.
I know, right? Yeah.
Yeah. 20 pills?
Like over, I think it was like, yeah.
Take like three, but I take he like.
You take 2 months worth of painkillers in 2 days. Vicodin. Jesus Christ.
Oh.
That's crazy.
Every time I ever took a Vicodin, it just made me sick as fuck.
It's like nauseous.
Nauseous shit, yeah. Yeah.
Crazy.
Crazy life. Let's see. The Danbury Thrashers.
So you said you watched it?
Yeah. So Fish was telling me about this one for months. I kept forgetting about it. I finally watched it like a week or two ago.
No, they got me in the first 6 seconds. The commercial or whatever, it was like something along the lines of like trash mob boss buys son hockey team or some shit. Like those are like 9 of the 12 first words. And I'm just like, sold. Like fucking got me like. Dude, how dope was that?
It was...
Wait, so what's the story?
Have you seen it?
Quick synopsis.
Have you seen it?
Yeah, but just in case...
Okay, so basically this kid, this dope-ass kid...
Yeah, okay, so I thought... So when Fish was telling me about it...
Talk about the dad.
It's so cool.
So I thought about it, like, when Fish was telling me, I thought it was going to be, this kid is just a piece of shit. He's like this rich kid, like, his dad buys him this hockey team, and then he, like, tries to turn it into WWF and all this stuff. And I was like, yeah, this sounds very interesting. But so I was going into it thinking this kid's going to be, like, this little rich kid, piece of shit kid.
Yeah.
But he's, like, 17. Yeah. But he looks not – he looks like 25. Yeah. He's, like, 17, big-ass Eminem. He's
beating the shit out of everyone.
It looks like Eminem. But, like – a big ass, 25-year-old
baggy ass shit, jewelry, fucking the whole.
But his dad was the mafia fool.
Yeah,
remember? Yeah.
So yeah, so this kid's fucking whatever. This is a gangster ass kid. He's playing hockey, and he's like just like a tough guy. He's just fighting everyone and just like being extra rough. And he's just like known for being the bully or whatever the fuck. So one game he cut fucking nails into somebody and ends up like fucking his shit up, and he can't play hockey again. So his dad, who's the fucking mob, whatever the fuck, like running all this mob shit, primarily the trash industry.
Yep.
He's running the fucking all the trash shit, because I guess that's like a big mob thing or something.
In the East Coast, yeah.
Yeah, and so he's like running all the trash routes or whatever. So this dude's just making millions. And so he's like, cool, I'm just going to buy you a hockey team because you can't play hockey anymore. The son doesn't even know. He sees it in the paper the next day.
It's like a minor league team.
They're like, oh, congratulations. And then he's like, why? He's like, dude, you own the, you're the president of the fucking hockey team. And he's like, I am? They like, didn't even know. And then,
the,
like...
The first player they signed is Wayne Gretzky's brother.
Oh, yeah, Brent Gretzky.
Oh, for the PR?
Yeah. Dude, kid's fucking smart, though. He's just
for
like...
For sure.
I started going all through all the numbers and the da-da-da. And, like, he ends up putting together this team of just, like, badasses. And they call the team the Trashers because the dad owns the trash shit. And then instantly they're just like the bad boys of the league. Just like
first game,
roughing everyone up.
Like. First game of the season. So he gets these OGs, right? He gets these two brothers. They're just hilarious in the film.
Oh, yeah.
They're just talking shit to each other.
They get Canadian the one-eyed guy. Shit.
Yeah. Dude, oh my God. And then they get the super badass dude.
The big Nigerian homie too.
Oh, the dude, the enforcer guy. He just beat people up.
Yeah.
So like one of the dudes, like it was right at the first puck drop. I don't know, tip off. I don't know what the hell you call it in hockey. And
coin toss.
One dude, like, some dude on the other team looks at one of the dudes on the Trashers and he says some shit like, fuck you or something. As soon as they drop the puck, the dude throws his gloves off, the other dude throws his gloves off, and they start fighting. The game hadn't even started yet and it was going nuts. And I think, like, the commissioner or something was like, if this goes on.
After, like, the third game, the commissioner's like, I'm going to start banning people and blah, blah, blah. But then it just kind of kept happening. And then eventually, I think, even towards the end, but, like, it just got brutal to where every game they're just fucking up the other team and the other team's, like, scared to play them. But they're also good. So they're, like, intimidating, but they're also good. So they're just winning, like, every game. Meanwhile, also, they're winning every game because the coach, who's the trash mob guy, is paying them way more than they're allowed to be paid in cash. He's taking them to steak dinners, like, balling out, buying them dinners, buying them fucking this and that, giving them cash and giving them bonuses,
balling
like, all this
out.
Shit.
And they're minor league. And they're, like, a minor league team. He's like, we're getting these crazy checks. He's like, every week the check would come from a different company.
And then so he put him on the payroll to the trash company. And then he's giving him like all this shit. And like, so they're like, fuck yeah, we're going to keep fucking running it up. Like, this is dope. And the coaches, they're just like, it's like a family thing. They're all like tight together, whatever. And then they end up getting the NHL guy. So they're like winning all the games. The NHL goes on strike. So they're like, we're going to go recruit some dude. They recruit the fucking like MVP or whatever.
Yeah, he's like the dude who hit the winning goal in the Stanley Cup the year before or whatever. And so he was
Mike Rupp.
Mike Rupp. How do you remember that?
I don't know. I watched last night.
Oh, okay, there you go.
It's fresh.
I watched it like 20,000 milligrams of edibles ago.
And then like, what, he ends up like, win- like pretty much they get, they're like undefeated, I think. And then it's the very end of the season. And then the FBI like finally figures out what they're doing. And like, they all end up getting fucked and whatever. And then it's like the end of an era.
It was like a one season thing.
I don't know.
I think it only might have lasted one season, and there was like so much crazy shit that went on. Like, it's a straight movie.
No,
like, putting this entire team together from scratch with a 17-year-old who used analytics at a time when people didn't do that shit, and like,
and this kid's like walking out with like baggy ass like Dickies, like just all fucking like whatever, and he's just like hiring on. He's like all the players like respect him because he's actually like a tough fucking kid. He could like. So they're like, fuck with Dave. And then the dad's just like cashing them all out. So it's just like this funny dynamic. Like,
and then all the fans are just like screaming fuck you to the commissioner. They're all chanting it.
Oh, they're like, you bald fuck.
Yeah, just going in on him. And then at the end of the day, the commissioner's just like retired, chilling at his house outside of Vegas. He's just like, you know, he's like,
they're actually doing something good for the community or whatever. Yeah. He's no, like, I actually respect them and whatever. And then he ends up getting like going on trial. And the dude like, he's like, that guy was like a piece of shit. He's like, no, he's actually a good guy. He ends up like getting his back and shit. Like, so sick. And then the Bob dude ends up only getting like 2 years in prison or something like that, right?
Is that the mafia dude?
The boss, the main homie?
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, that's a super good one. It's called the Trash for Trashers or some shit. What's
something
it called?
Trashers.
Look at Trashers. Danbury Trashers.
Danbury Trashers. That's one that you would watch as like a comedy movie.
It's like, that's not even real. Like, we always joke about like, oh, you can't even write our lives and our shit, but it's like, you can't write that. Like, your dad's the mob guy who owns a trash business, and then he buys a fucking hockey team, puts a 17-year-old son as the president. They turn into a fucking fighting, like, so many dynamics to this. It's like, and it's all real. It's
under
like,
FBI investigations.
Yeah.
And no, that's like, literally, it would be one of those, like, Will Ferrell, the ice skating movie, or Hot, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The basketball movie. It would be, you would make that into a fucking movie as a comedy, and people be like, there's no way this could ever be real. And that's why it's so funny, and... That's what I'm saying. Documentaries.
Yeah,
documentaries can replace reality shows, dude.
There's
like, fuck a reality show.
Sure. Like,
we have these motherfuckers that live on Earth.
So crazy.
So hopefully we'll be able to direct a bunch of crazy shit. Documentaries probably on lots of corporate cannabis fraud or something in the future.
Yeah, we need to make the first like fire fraud for cannabis version. Just like...
Oh, here's one. Speaking of fire fraud, you might want to pull this one up, Josh. The... Theranos chick.
Oh yeah, what happened?
Didn't she just something just happened?
Who?
The Theranos chick. What's Elizabeth. That?
Elizabeth something.
Theranos trial. There's like
a. Oh, she got sentenced or something.
Right? Or something like that. Oh, there it was.
I almost watched that again the other day, actually. I watched the Firefest one the other day.
Jury finds her guilty on multiple charges of criminal fraud. Multiple. Billions of dollars.
What, she probably got like 4 months? She probably got like community service.
Elizabeth Holmes, 11 federal charges guilty. There are 4 counts of, out of 11 charges.
How many months, years?
Sentencing may have not have happened yet. Honestly.
Yeah, because that should just.
I think it's separate.
It's a couple. It was like yesterday, the day before. She raised. She
faces up to 20 years.
20 years.
That's so crazy. So she raised $945 million from high profile investors, including the family of Betsy DeVoe, Rupert Murdoch, and the Walton family. At its peak, it was valued at $9 billion for an apparatus that was theoretically not possible.
Right.
And then she's going to get up to 20 fucking years when these people are getting, motherfuckers are getting stopped with weed, like a 0.7 of weed.
Wasn't her shit, she like got it in the Walgreens or something and then just leveraged that to get like a crazy investment based off the fact that it was in Walgreens even though it didn't work or some shit?
And all the engineers were like, this shit doesn't work. It's impossible. Yeah. It was supposed to like prick your finger and
get
take
300. It's 300. Like, it's supposed to get like 300 things at least. 300 some...
Exactly. Yeah. Detect 300 like illnesses or something with one drop of your blood, and all the scientists were like, that's not possible. They need like a vial of your blood, like 2 tubes of your blood to do like 30 things.
Yeah.
Nuts.
Yeah.
She's going to get 4 months and
she'll fuck
a pat on the back.
Somehow. Yeah, every time.
And she's
gonna because I always watch American Greed. I used to watch, like, they used to be my favorite show. I'd watch all that shit. And like every time these dudes are like $150 million, like $49 million, like 71, like just ridiculous amounts of money. And it's always like, 9 months in fucking community service.
Or they'll get 3 years and they only serve like 10 months or some shit. Yeah.
It's just like absurd.
Or you read the article that's like, we just acquired this CEO, a former CEO of this place, and they just lost $60 million. but we hired him to run our company. Yeah. Let's make a press release about it. Yeah. What? Yeah.
Just disregarding all the bad stuff.
Just buzzword, big corporate name.
Press release.
Why'd you even put the $60 million on, lost $60 million? But he's working for us now. This is just so crazy. Like, yeah, we should, if this podcast is going when she gets out, we should follow up where she's going to get a job somewhere. She's going to go, like, work for the government or something. She's going to go, like, the cabinet. Elizabeth, whatever her name Holmes. Is. What is her name? Holmes.
Fool.
Watch. She's going to go and she's going to be part of something crazy. They're going to be like, oh, we're going to hire her to run our company because she was that Theranos chick. She the company that $9 billion?
All marketing, dude. She put that black turtleneck on and she fucking acted like the fucking whatever and played into it and they all like narrated that thing of her, like however you say that, whatever.
I know exactly where you're going with this whole sentence. She put on the turtleneck, tried to look like Steve Jobs and try to create that narrative. Dude. That's so good. But no, she even like held the little vial of blood exactly how he held like the iPod.
Yeah, exactly. Or something like that.
And everybody's like, oh, I want to buy into this because of the tech boom.
Yeah.
Fucking boomers and great generation.
9 billion.
That's the wealth transfer right there. Like, how is the millennials going to get the transfer of wealth from the boomers? It's like, tell them we're going to start a cannabis company. We need $4 million.
I saw some meme that's or some like ad or whatever you want to call it on IG, and it's just talking about like how like the stock market and just like traditional stocks are just like fucking on the way out, and it's just like the more we progress and whatever, it's because it's like, think about it, it's like before it was always corporations and companies and now it's individuals. Like now everybody has a fucking their own brand, or now everybody has their own thing through here, whereas it's always been you invest in Ford or fucking Toyota or like Apple or like whatever the fuck, but now you can invest in anything and crypto and all this shit. So it's like, I don't know, just interesting like reading that article.
Do you think there's gonna be something one day where it's like you can invest in a person?
You can already.
Is there like a Kickstarter type thing where people give you money, but then you get a percentage of their shit for the rest for you get like shares of whatever they make the rest of their life?
I don't know. It's like the same concept as like having a coin of yourself. Like, so you can already buy it for like high profile people, for like Elon Musk and like anybody like that you think, same as a stock, like I'm gonna invest in this person because I think they're gonna increase in value or whatever. So like it's already a thing. I forget what it's called. It's called like Coinbite or some shit.
But like think of it a next level as like, okay, so you're like investing in these companies, you're paying the stock for whatever the fuck. Like everybody has their own personal brand. So you're get it's like followers are currency, engagement is currency, all this stuff, right? Like how, so you can invest in somebody without going to the stock market if you just want to support somebody. You can go to a Patreon, you can go to this, you can go like, how does it just set up where there's a platform where you can invest in someone's real future? Not like, I'm gonna pay you $10 because I like your shit or what, on, you know.
No, Twitch, that's like what Twitch, this is.
But like, to the point where it's like the Kickstarter, but the people who invest, like what are the people who get out of the coin? Like, I guess so if it's a coin.
Different tiers. I think it's similar to like, whatever. It's like, if it's $1,000, you get like to email them once a month. Or if it's like $10,000, you get to have a meeting with them once a year. Or like, I think it's something like that. I forget what it's called, but yeah, it's literally like that's the whole premise of it is just like you're investing on like what you think is gonna. Like,
it makes sense.
Obviously, Elon Musk is a no brainer. Like he's gonna continue to just like kill it.
It makes sense with crypto because it's like the price is gonna go up and you can track that, so you'll get your shares as it's worth more. You will get more. But even in terms of just like a person, like is that a thing? Like, I guess picture that being in like some Black Mirror shit where people. Literally, it's like a fucking thing. You can fucking invest in me. You give me the money. It goes directly into my bank account, but it's encrypted to know that you gave me that money. Now you get fucking cashed out every single fucking month of the rest of my life with a percentage of whatever I made based on however much you invested in me. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
yeah, that'd be like crazy.
Take the stock market away and go into straight individuals, and then you can do that. Or businesses. Same shit. You have like your business. It's like a Kickstarter type fucking thing that like links to your shit and people can just like go in and out.
That's like, I'm sure it's already, there's already like
something similar to that.
Sure, yeah. But yeah, that's obviously like the future. It's like just taking it away from the traditional shit. Now it's going to this whole like.
And it's going back then. It's like back to like slavery.
Yeah.
Because like you're taking on these investors to buy you, but then you end up being a lazy piece of shit. You don't make any money. Now you're accredited or in debt to these people. So you have to do what the fuck they want to do because you never gave them back their investment. Or something like you know?
Yeah.
Well, we'll probably all be fucking slaves in the future one way
or another. To a computer, to an NFT or some shit.
Well,
whatever that was.
Yeah, if you want to call that a podcast. It's all the list. Thanks, Josh, for being a producer today.
Kept you on track.
Killing it on the keyboard.
Thanks to our sponsors, Timber and Pyramid, the best in the fucking business.
Sold out everywhere. You can't find it because they're sold out.
Find it at your shop or ask them for it.
Make sure you go to Coasters Bar and Grill. Oh, yep. Yeah. Leave Jim a review, screenshot, and send us the proof. We'll send you a little goodie.
A little goodie bag for Jim. And yeah, thanks for watching. Subscribe, comment, like, all that shit. We'll see you next week. Keep pushing, keep rising. We out.
Peace.